CFM.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
You and I have been talking about catching this show this time next year, which Karl Stefanovic is hosting. And essentially it's about following the stories of people who they'll take a pledge to do something and then they skip 12 months in advance. Obviously, they filmed it 12 months ago. And then you can see if they've fulfilled their pledge.
I was playing a game last night where I looked at Karl Stefanovic, and then a year later when they filmed some more, he dyed his hair on the side. So he was grey and then he'd come over to the other side.
See, I didn't notice that.
Didn't you notice that? Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I was looking to see if he had changed, because obviously it's 12 months for him too, which a lot has changed for Karl Stefanovic in 12 months.
He's got a new girlfriend and everything.
I know, why he's probably dyeing his hair. there were some amazing stories, though, last night. And like you said, you were hooked, were you?
It's my new favourite show on free-to-air TV. It's just, I never thought of this idea before. It's just interesting to see.
Something a bit different. One of the stories they kicked it off with was this couple from South Australia who had been going through IVF for 5 years, I think, unsuccessfully. And then they talked about how they were going to use a donor egg and then his sperm to create a baby, and they were going to have a baby in 12 months.
We got some audio from the show last night.
What's your pledge?
This time next year, we will have a baby.
Whoa. Yeah. Why this year?
Carl, we've been trying to have a baby now. Excuse me, I tear up.
It's okay.
We've been trying now for nearly 5 years, 4.5 years. We've been unsuccessful. We're now in our 10th round of IVF.
Ooh.
So it's cost us a lot emotionally, financially, physically, definitely mentally.
Yeah.
It's a lot to go through, isn't it?
It's a lot to go through, but happy story. They came back 12 months later, and through IVF and a donor egg, they actually had two babies.
Not one, but two.
They got two for the price of one, which is a great story. There was a lot of other really interesting stories as well. One guy who was a farmer, he was 36, I think, or 34, and he'd been hiding that he was gay his whole life, came out to his family, and his pledge was to find a soulmate, but he didn't end up finding a soulmate. But obviously he went through a lot in that year to come out and not hide himself anymore, which that was a really nice story. But one of the stories that caught my attention was a couple who had been together for 5 years, both 39, Jennifer and Darren. Did you see this story?
No, I saw the first two stories and went to bed. So
yeah, so their pledge was they wanted to look amazing on their wedding day.
Oh, I saw this is the one I saw. I saw this one.
Yeah, and their goal was to both lose weight, because they're both overweight. And I think he weighed 138 kilos and she weighed, I think, 109. And they wanted to lose collectively 100 kilos. So they both wanted to lose 50 kilos. And the story, I was like, okay, this is interesting. And I was like, it shouldn't be about looking great on your wedding day. It should be about wanting to obviously be healthy. And obviously that's probably what it was about. But the interesting part for me was when they were talking about, you know, how they wanted to lose weight and look amazing together and all that kind of thing. And then they talked about getting the gastric sleeve surgery.
As soon as I said that, I said to Jamie, I said, they'll guarantee lose weight. Every time someone goes and gets that done, they drop the kgs like it's nothing.
It's so weird, because over the weekend I had dinner with one of my friends and we were talking about her sister who was there at dinner, and she has had the surgery in the last 12 months and she's lost 45 kilos.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if people don't know what the gastric sleeve surgery is, it's different to gastric band surgery. So instead of a band being put around your stomach, it's actually where they take a section of your stomach out and they put like a sleeve kind of, in there to replace it, which there's no turning back after that. But
limits your food intake and stuff as well. So that's,
and then there was a lot of comments on Twitter last night being, you know, pretty brutal, saying, oh, you know, lazy, as if, you know, you have to get the sleeve, you should
do
the work.
Look at the results, though.
I know. Then this is something I wanted to ask you. Is that an option that you would take if you were obviously that heavy? You'd just get the surgery, take the easy way out?
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, people get plastic surgery all the time. They get cosmetic stuff all the time. Why wouldn't you do it for your insides? I mean, there's a reason they do it. And look at the results. In a year's time, that guy looked like a whole different person.
He did. He lost. Well, he ended up losing, I think, he lost 61 kilos.
Amazing.
He got down to 77.8 and she got down to 73.9. So she lost 30-something kilos as well.
Yeah.
So you would say you would take it?
100%.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'd love for people to call through on 13, 12, 16 because it's a bit of a polarising one. Would you get the surgery? Have you gotten the surgery? And would you recommend it to people?
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear from people that have actually had it done. I haven't personally heard any disaster stories. I've only heard good things. Like I said, as soon as they mentioned it on TV last night, I went, "Phew." They're definitely going to come back skinnier.
Well, of course. They're getting surgery to obviously help that. But, I mean, I've heard horror stories about the gastric band surgery, so I don't know.
13, 12, 16 is our number. We've got the tickets this week to the Red Rooster Super Sprint as it hits Sydney Motorsport Park, August 18 to 20. But 13, 12, 16 for your calls this morning. That's next.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey.
101.3 CFM.
The show kicked off with Karl Stefanovic this time next year, and where they follow people who take a pledge and then they follow their story 12 months on to see if they went through with everything.
Yeah, fascinating show. I'm right into it. I think it'll get moved to an earlier time slot, but there was that couple last night who wanted to look great for their wedding, and combined they wanted to lose 100 kilos.
100 kilos.
They come back in Slim Jim and... whatever.
Slim Jennifer.
That's it.
Darren and Jennifer were their names.
They dropped some
but,
KGs.
But they talked about how they were both having the gastric sleeve surgery and they were going to go in on the same day and both get the surgery together. And essentially it's where I think, yeah, they fit your stomach and they take a piece of your stomach out. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so you can't eat as much as what you normally would, which it's a different option to lap band surgery, which is a whole different operation altogether, but all in the same realm.
We wanted to put it out there to the people, 13, 12, 16 with your take on it. I mean, me personally, if I got that large and that was an option for me and I didn't see a way out, it's easy to say, oh, eat healthy and exercise. But we all know how hard that is. It's hard.
It is bloody hard.
So, I mean, I would definitely take it. But
One of my mates, I literally talked to her on the weekend. Her sister got it and lost 40 kilos. So it is something that obviously does work and, you know, can get people into that healthy weight range.
Shannon, what's your take on this morning?
Hello.
Hey, mate.
Morning, Shannon.
How you going? I lost 48 kilos on it.
Okay, and you had the sleeve and not the lap band?
No, I had the sleeve, yeah. So I had it done in 26th of January.
Okay.
And so far I've lost 48 kilos.
Would you recommend it to anyone thinking about it?
I recommend it to a lot of people. It's amazing. It's hard work, don't get me wrong. People say it's the easy way out, but I don't think so. I think it's hard.
And why did you opt to choose the sleeve instead of the band?
I've always been a big guy, you know what I mean? I was pretty good at football and all the rest of it, and I was pretty fit. And then I tried to lose weight after my football career, and I just couldn't do it. I'd lose 30 kilos, and then I'd put it all back on at the same time. So it was an option for me to keep the weight off.
So how heavy were you when you decided to get the surgery?
I was 173.3 kilos.
Okay, wow.
Okay.
And how, obviously, you're a lot lighter than that now.
Yeah, I'm 125 kilos now.
125.
Oh, well done.
What's your aim? What are you trying to get to?
I need to lose another 15 kilos to get to my goal.
Okay, another 15
to his
goal. Okay, well done, mate. That's it's good to hear. I mean, if it works for you, it works for you. And that's all that matters. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks. Let's go to Shireen in Saratoga. Morning, Shireen.
Morning.
Morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. Have you had the surgery?
I had the surgery 12 months ago. I had quite severe insulin resistance. So it's like pre-diabetes where everything you eat basically turns to fat. So no matter what I did, I couldn't lose weight. So I played, you know, the game with all the diets, done everything, and my last resort was the sleeve. I've lost 42 kilos and avoided diabetes.
And you don't regret it at all, Shireen?
Pause that.
Sorry, what was that?
You don't regret it? Because obviously it's a big surgery to go through and it's a big life change. Yeah.
Not at all. Like, my sister got jealous because she was, oh, you're taking the easy way out. It is not the easy way at all. It is a total lifestyle change. Your brain still tells you you can eat these amounts, but your stomach tells you otherwise. You know, and there's so many foods that you can't eat that people don't realise.
They actually take a piece of your stomach. Is that right?
They take 2/3 of your stomach away.
Because in the lap band, one of my mates, we were talking about it at dinner, the lap band, they actually just put a band around your stomach so you can't eat big amounts through, you know, at one sitting. And she said one of her work colleagues got the lap band and she actually went to the doctor before she went away on a big European trip and got the lap band expanded so she could eat more on the trip.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's a forever thing, isn't it?
And if it's those type of people, they shouldn't be getting it because obviously that's for the wrong reasons.
Robbie's in Charmhaven giving us a call. You'd like to get it, Robbie?
Yeah, I'd love to get it. It's the cost and stuff like that deters me from doing it.
How much is it, Robbie? Have you looked into it?
Yeah, it's in between, anywhere between 10 and 16 grand.
Wow.
I have four kids and I work really hard, but I just don't earn enough money to cover everything plus put money away for that.
And nothing, it's not covered under Medicare or anything like that, Robbie?
No, you can actually claim against your super.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, it's a lot of hard work to go through all that, and I don't want to make my children suffer or me suffer in the long run. So
you're putting your kids first.
Yeah, I'm putting my kids first and everything like that. But I'm 162 centimetres tall, about 130 kilos. But in 2007, I had a major truck accident.
Okay.
Broke nearly every bone in the left side of my body. So for me to exercise and try and work the fat off, it's actually really hard and quite painful. So for me, that's the only option because it's too painful for me to exercise. I've tried diets and stuff like that.
So you're saying it's a bit too expensive?
It's too expensive, and the depression gets you down too, and you start eating again. So it's really, really hard mentally.
Well, hopefully maybe in the future, Robbie, it becomes a bit more, you know, affordable and a lot more people can maybe have that as an option.
If you're in that position, would you give it a go? I definitely would give it a go, 100%.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to weigh up your options and realise, you know, if you want to be around for your kids or if, you know, if there's no other option, then I guess, you know, you have to look into stuff like that.
Yeah. Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
101.3 CFM.
Hello, Bree and Gaunzi's Sticky Hotline. And I'm
so can't go without doing Sticky Hotline for the week, so
thought I could get away with it.
It's your turn to make the call today.
All right.
And I'm going to put a challenge to you. So if you haven't heard this before, the other person gets to pick where to call and the excuse that the person has to go with, and it's a bit of game between the two of us. But you've only got the one phone call to do it in. There's no turning back. Has to be done in this call.
Okay.
So I'm going to set you a challenge to see how good you are.
All right.
Your favourite, one of your favourite cafes on the coast. You go there a lot. You love the pancakes. You're always telling me.
So hard.
You're always telling me about the pancakes at the Glass.
Oh, the Glass Onion Society.
Onion Society. Mm-hmm. So, how well do you think they know you down there? You reckon they'll be able to pick you?
That's going to be tough for me.
It's all right.
Not that many people that work there.
I'll make it even tougher for you.
Okay. What's the excuse?
There's a nude photo of yours that's been leaked, and it's doing the rounds.
Oh, what? Now we're using real life situations.
So the nude is out there and you're embarrassed to come into work in case they've seen it.
Can't I go with that my ex has leaked it or something?
If you want, you can. I don't care who's leaked it.
Great.
So your mum leaked it.
Oh, yeah, because Mama Dies just wants my nudes out there in the open. I don't even have any nudes.
Hey, it worked for Kim Kardashian, so, you know.
Maybe I should send some nudes to some people to try and get them leaked.
Progress
all
the
right,
career.
Got
all right,
I've
good
got
luck.
The excuse. Call the place. I even know their number. I can put it in.
Okay, punch it in for me.
Called it enough.
Let's kick this thing off.
Right,
good luck.
Go.
Will they be there this morning?
So.
Thanks for calling the Glass Onion. This is Rachel.
Hey, Rach. How are you?
Hey, well, thanks.
That's good. Busy there this morning?
Not too bad.
Yeah, I haven't been in for a couple of days now, but
yeah.
hey, Rach. I need to talk to whoever's done rosters. I need to get out of a shift.
Yeah, no worries. I'll just put her on the phone.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hello.
Hey.
Who's this? Hello?
You joking?
Wait, hold on. Oh, it's Emma.
Yeah.
I was like, Rachel was like, I didn't recognise this girl's voice.
I thought she didn't.
Get out of their shift, hey?
I thought she didn't. She seemed a bit confused.
Yeah, it was weird.
Cool. Hey, oh, I need to get out of my shift next week.
Yeah, what one?
Do you have the roster there in front of you?
No.
Oh. I think it's on, I'm going to say it's on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe what happened.
What?
This is so embarrassing. Can this stay between you and I, though?
Wait, who is this again?
It's Emma.
Emma?
Yeah.
Emma who?
It's M.
Emma McDougall?
Yes.
This is... No, it's not.
Emma Mack.
Yeah?
Yes.
No, you don't have a shift on Wednesday.
Oh, I don't. Oh, well, to be honest, I'm getting all confused. I'm a bit flustered because I just found out my ex-boyfriend has just sent a nude picture of me to all of my friends.
Nah, you're so wrong.
No, legit.
Nah, I don't believe you.
I'm telling you.
Emma's my best friend. So I know her life. Unfortunately for you.
No.
Sorry, I could. You know what? I could tell by your voice. I was like, hold on a second.
It's Bree from the radio. Oh, you're killing me! You just made me lose the whole thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have just given you the day off.
Should have.
But you didn't. So points.
Sorry. You were too onto it. You're too good of a friend.
Oh,
I'll be in for the pancakes.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey.
101.3 CFM.
Some heavy news over the last 24 to 48 hours, with four men remaining in custody following the aeroplane terror plot raids here in Australia, which is a scary thought so close to home.
And they're saying now that, you know, it's going to become the norm that if you're flying international, a three-hour check-in, and also for domestic, a two-hour or long check-ins now because of the security measures they will have to take after this.
Yeah, you saw it at the airport with all those people lined up for ages. But we wanted to get CEO of Intelligent Risks back on the show, Neil Fergus, with us this morning. Morning, Neil.
Morning.
Good morning.
You're up to date with everything that's been going on over the last 48 hours. So where do we sit with this? I mean, is that something they're going ahead with at the airports, Neil? There's discussion of that at the moment, right?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt going to be a lot more discussion as well, guys. The issue is we have a very strong little policy unit in Canberra, and I know that's probably a chuckle to some people, but nonetheless, the Office of Transport Security is the aviation security regulator for Australia. They make sure that all of the airports comply with the ICAO aviation security rules, that's the International Civil Aviation Organisation. And in fact, we have been exceeding the requirements laid down by ICAO in terms of international airports. So this area, the OTS, they will be looking at the intelligence coming out of the ASIO AFP police investigation, what the implications of that are for international security screening and domestic security screening. And for what it's worth, I don't think we're going to see any significant change in the international security screening regime because, as I said, it exceeds what is the international best practice, but there'll probably be some recalibration of settings in terms of domestic screening.
Neil, I've flown a lot of domestic flights in the last couple of months, and I noticed even that on some occasions I didn't even have to show my ID to check in. Will that be changing?
Yeah, well, you're very observant. That is not one of the requirements at the moment for domestic flights, and that is an issue the Federal Police has raised with the regulator, this OTS, on a number of occasions. And to this point in time, it's been considered not absolutely necessary because if you think about it, yeah, we may not know it's you on that plane. You may have given your boarding pass to someone else, but the issue is, what is the person carrying on them?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But moving forward, your point is really valid. I've got no doubt that's an issue that's going to be tossed around in the corridors of this OTS in Canberra because, really, is it such an impost? Do the travelling public really care if they have to show, obviously not kids showing a licence, but you know, for adults to show a licence or a passport or something? I don't think anybody really minds that much, provided that you've got confidence you're getting on a plane at point A and you're going to get to point B safely.
But of these four men that are held in custody, prior to this, they weren't known to police. So even if they did have to show their ID to get on the plane, what does that stop?
Now, I have seen one of the academic masterminds commenting about these are clean skins. That's not true.
Okay.
It's been said repeatedly. You're right to have picked it up. It's been said repeatedly in the media. A couple of these individuals were on the periphery of an operation the police did a few years ago called Operation Appleby, where 800 police officers raided 25 homes, mainly in Sydney, but also in Brisbane. So they're not what I would call, not what I would define as a clean skin, no way in the world. One of the families, not that it's guilt by association, and these are matters before the courts, but one of the families has a relative who's one of the foreign fighters fighting with ISIL in Syria, and another one of the families is reputed or alleged to also have a family member of some sort
So they were on the radar for the police.
Yeah, look, there's a little bit of misunderstanding in the public there about, you know, ASIO has this massive watch list. The thing is, there's 1,000 moving parts. And the Director General of ASIO, Duncan Lewis, has said before, at any one time, there's 200 active investigations that the ladies and the blokes in ASIO are trying to look at. So they have a database, of course, but Big Brother, everybody on it? Nah, impossible.
Neil, if people are listening right now and they're catching flights in the next coming weeks or coming days, what advice would you give to those people? Should they arrive earlier? Should they allow for more time?
I think a little more time, but as we saw on the weekend, paradoxically, a whole lot of people heeded Prime Minister Turnbull's cry to get there early, and they all got there early, and they couldn't get their luggage checked in, so they can't even get to the screening gate till you check your luggage in. So, you know, but be sensible. There's no point. Don't get there late, whatever you do, but you don't need to get there an hour and a half before the advertised time. And look at the notices. You know, Qantas is all over this, as you'd expect, and no doubt Virgin as well. They're looking at what the movement patterns need to be and when they have to open the check-ins and all of that. So if in doubt, ask your travel agent or look on the website, but don't get there 2 hours earlier than broadcast, because you're just going to congest, block up the damned airport terminal, whether you're at Newcastle, Sydney or Timbuktu, and you're going to be bored senseless.
Yeah, like we saw over the last couple of days. And I guess the positive to come out of this is that the police are on top of it and they stopped the plan. So, I mean, they're doing an amazing job from what we've seen. I mean, they prevented a disaster, which is the main thing. So,
Look, these people are still, there's a presumption of innocence and we have to see what's heard before the courts. But you're spot on. This is, if it is what it seems to be, it's the 13th terrorist conspiracy that ASIO and the police have stopped in this country in 3 years. That is an astounding record of performance. And, of course, they're only human. They can and they will make mistakes. But anyone in Australia who's worried about the security situation should take some comfort from that.
Yeah, it's a big job in there. They seem to be doing a great job at it. Neil Fergus, CEO of Intelligent Risks, mate, appreciate your time this morning and thanks for giving us the update.
Always great to have you on.
Pleasure.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
101.3 CFM.
Hey, loving this. How's this video doing the rounds of these lawn bowl ladies in Melbourne from Chadstone?
So good.
My nan plays lawn bowls every day.
My nonno and nonna played lawn bowls and they loved it.
It's a sport that goes wide range. I mean, you can get down there, have a couple of drinks, go barefoot lawn bowls. So
that
you can get into it.
It's become very popular in the recent years, hasn't it, barefoot bowls?
These ladies have taken action into their own hands, though, because they're talking about building this $25 million indoor sports facility on top of their lawn bowls. And they've gone and put together a song. Now, I just want to give out these ladies' names. Terry Foster, 82 years of age.
Killing it, Terry.
Janine Hall, 82 years of age.
Mm-hmm. Same class at school.
And Wynne Hewitt, at the sprightly young age of 72 years of age. 10 years younger getting involved in this.
Anyone can play.
A couple of ladies didn't even know who Beyonce was, but they didn't.
Come on.
They didn't. It says
That's not true.
It did.
That's something that they've written in there to...
No, it says a couple of the ladies we had to tell who Beyonce was.
Get one of those ladies on the phone. I want to ask if that's true.
Anyway, they've done this parody song to save the lawn bowls, yeah? So they're trying to send a message to the people that you can't take our lawn bowls.
It was a parody song of single ladies, Beyonce, wasn't it?
Yeah, take a look. No, 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 no,
no, no, my favourite.
Oh, ladies.
We're ballers. I love that line. We're ballers and you can't take this away from us.
That's better than some parodies that some radio shows put together.
Don't name any names.
I'm not naming names. I'm just saying there's some parodies kicking around the scene.
I love that the thought of a parody song is when the song is going massive, that's when you do the parody.
Yeah.
Because you jump on the back of it. That song was big, like, how long ago? No.
Again, they didn't know who Beyonce was. They don't know if that's a new or old song. They're 82.
I love them. I'd go have a game there.
In Chadstone, would you?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it's enough to keep the dream alive. I personally don't think it will be.
You don't reckon?
A $25 million indoor sport facility.
Those indoor sport facilities make so much money.
That's what I mean. You think this little old lawn bowl place is going to trump that?
I could see those girls kicking around the indoor sports facility.
Can't they give them a little indoor one there somewhere?
Make a little indoor bowl centre. Or they can just get amongst the dodgeball or the beach volleyball.
Why not,
I'd
ladies?
Love to see them in a beach volleyball kit.
Hey? An 82-year-old in a bikini.
Yeah, that's for me.
Okay. Get on down there and enjoy.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
101.3 CFM.
Over the weekend, I went through a moment where it's going to change me forever.
What went down? What happened?
I went to Sydney on the weekend and caught up with one of my mates who's had a kid and thought we'd take her little girl, Emmy, who's two, just turned two, to the Sydney Aquarium. Have a look around, and you know, kids love that stuff. 2 year old, she was, you know, she's old enough that she can really kind of look at the things and know what's going on,
and young enough to be annoying.
Yeah. Anyway,
you can't reason with them.
Anyway, cute kid, I must say, and I love kids, but this happened, and I thought to myself, I don't know if I will ever have children. We literally lined up for the tickets because it was super busy. Lined up for the tickets for about half an hour. We got the tickets. She was really restless. She was ready to get in there. We've waited in the line to get into the aquarium. And as we were walking into the first kind of tank to see some of the stuff, I went, uh-oh. I was like, can you smell that? And my friend was like, oh, no. Emmy's obviously
soiled herself.
Soiled herself.
Yeah.
And I get that, you know, that happens a lot, and kids, obviously, you know, that young are wearing nappies, but I couldn't believe the stench that was coming from this kid. I thought, what has she done in there? Is it an atomic bomb? I don't know what was going on, but I was standing 10 metres away from the kid and I could still smell it. I said to her, I was like, we need to go back out because there was no toilets inside the actual thing for ages. Like, you have to walk for like, oh, probably a kilometre to get to the toilet. I was like, we need to go back through the entire line with this kid because I was... So we picked her up and my friend made me pick her up. I said, what are you going to give me this bloody bomb to carry through the whole bloody line?
Walk through the crowd going, I can't believe her daughter did this. No, honestly, I mean, Bree, what's your daughter doing?
That's definitely not my kid. So I've picked her up. I literally was gagging. And I, you know what? I get that it's childish and whatever, but it was bad. It was really bad. And I was like, what have you given this kid? Like, what has she eaten? I couldn't believe that came out of a two-year-old.
Yeah.
And she was adorable. Anyway, I've picked her up and I thought, let's just brave the stench, get out through this line and, you know, get to the bathroom. As I've picked her up, we were walking through the line. Literally, these two girls who were walking past us, I couldn't have written it. Literally, one of them goes, oh, who farted? I literally was like... So it's not just me. Yeah. This is bad and everyone around knew it.
Who did the changing when you got to the change room?
That's
get
the
to
moment
the door.
That changed me.
You didn't get to the door and your friend went, all right, your time
no,
to learn and get on in there.
Oh,
and
she didn't let me get away with it.
What?
She goes, oh, in you come. I need help.
Get out.
She made me go in there with her. And that is the experience that will change me forever.
I can't think of one friend I'd do that for. Can't even think of a family member.
Literally, it's like a car accident. You know when you're looking at it, you can't look away. You're like, this is going to really F up my mind tomorrow.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
101.3 CFM.
Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Time is waiting. You only get 1 second of the song. No hesitating. You only get 1 second. 1 second.
If there's one game that gets taken seriously on this show, it is this, the 1 second song challenge. Bree already knows the first song.
So do you.
I swear on my dad's life, I do not know the first song. I didn't hear it.
Okay, well.
Hand on heart, did not hear it, but Bree has requested to hear it.
And because your headphones were off when Rachel played it. So obviously I need to know it.
But you don't take my word when I say things. So I swear.
You didn't say that off air. You just said, oh, I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it, so.
I wasn't paying attention.
So Bree knows the first one here. I don't, but it's 20 seconds on the clock. As many as you can get within 20 seconds. Who are we playing for?
Michelle in San Remo is on Team Gaundy, and Katie in Blackwall is on Team Bree this morning.
Morning, Katie. I got this, girl. I know the first one, so I've got an advantage. Boom, boom! Katie?
Good response. Hey, Michelle. The Red Rooster Super Sprint tickets are up for grabs this morning, so hopefully I can win this here for you. I've got to leave the studio.
You got this.
Well, I'm back-to-back wins. I'm going for three straight here.
Go in the booth. The soundproof booth. Yeah. Away you go.
CFM's playing outside, isn't it?
Yeah, so he has to go round into the corner, into the little dark booth. So we'll give him a few seconds. And I promise you, did not cheat. I did not know that he had his headphones off.
Oh, he did have his headphones off, though, didn't he?
Yes. Well, he had one ear off.
So would you say he would have heard it?
I gave him the opportunity. I said, guess it or not. He didn't even guess it. He didn't even try, so I don't know.
Because he wanted you to think he didn't hear it.
Anyway, cheaters.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Destiny's Child. Yep.
But I will go.
Dido.
Yep.
Bangers. Yep. Bangarang.
Nope. Pass.
Fresh Prince.
Yep.
Baby, you're wrong.
Pass. Pass.
I see the moon.
Pass.
3.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
3. They're pretty hard today. I made sure of it. 3, and you got to song number 7,
no,
so you missed 4 of them this morning.
That's so bad.
All right, it's time to go grab him from his little voice-proof booth. Soundproof booth. She's gone out to grab him right now. So Bree has, I can't even say it now because Gaundy's coming back in straight away. How you feeling, LeGaund?
I'll tell you in 20 seconds.
Are you ready?
All right.
Let's do it.
In 3, 2, 1.
Ladies, leave your man.
So, single ladies, ladies, nope. Leave pass.
But I will go.
Oh, Dido?
Yep.
Oh, pass on there. Fresh Prince.
Yep.
Baby, you're wrong.
DJ Sammy.
Yep.
Drake.
Yep.
I see the moon.
If you get it, I'll give it to you.
And we're staring at the sun. Dua Lipa.
You did. 5. 5 out of 6. Which means that Gaundy has taken it out this morning.
DJ Sammy, what's it called? Summer.
Heaven.
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 She also did a remix of Boys of Summer as well.
That was my schoolie song.
That's how I knew it. That's how I thought you might get it.
What were the others?
Okay, so the others. The first one was Destiny's Child Jumping.
Destiny's Child.
Dido.
Tactical that you on purpose missed that one. That's nice.
How many did you get knowing that first one?
3.
Dizzy Rascal's Bonkers.
Oh.
Fresh Prince, you
what
both
I say
got?
It was Bangarang.
Yeah, Bangarang has
in
a
the
similar,
song.
Yeah.
Baby,
DJ Sammy, Drake, Hold On, We're Going Home, Dua Lipa, Be The One is
was
the
there
last
any others?
One. No, that was
that
it.
That was it, okay.
Which does mean, though, that Michelle in San Remo.
We've done it.
Rock on you.
Yeah, Michelle. Enjoy the race of Red Rooster Sydney Super Sprint, August 18 to 20. Tickets through Ticket Tech, 3 from 3 in the last
Thank
3 weeks.
So much.
We'll take that, won't we, Michelle?
Yeah, we'll take it. They cheated, I reckon.
What's that?
And we still won. They cheated and we still won.
Oh, they cheated.
No, all right, Michelle.
Thanks,
all
Michelle.
Right, Michelle.
Let's go out on that. Your
Settle
words,
down,
Michelle. Well done,
pull
Michelle.
Pull my mic down.
Well done.
Get up with Bree and Gaundy.
101.3 CFM.